Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Early 90s, mid-90s, I think, is when I met Tim May. Tim May used to work at the Dispatch. Now he calls Letterman Row home. And, man, he asks great questions during the press conference. And I always wait for his questions. I'm like, oh, Tim May's there. And it's real. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello, my friend, my longtime friend. I can't believe how long I've known you.
Yeah, you just took me a trip down memory lane. Did we get all the way back to 80? Did that take us all the way back to 87, 88?
No.
The last time Indiana beat Ohio State, two years in a row?
Nope,
what my lead was in the paper the next day after 1988, after Indiana had won for the second straight year and beat Ohio State, 41-7?
I'm going to guess it was probably, I digress, Hoosiers do it again?
Yeah, it was something like that. I said, a new day has dawned in the Big Ten.
Oh, man.
Little did I know that's the last time Indiana would beat Ohio State, and we'll see if it happens tomorrow.
Maybe you were foreshadowing to Ryan.
Yeah, maybe I was. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm not
even sure what foreshadowing means, to be honest with you. It means your shadow looms over something before you actually get there.
Ah,
I see where you're going with that.
I always learn from you, Mr. Tim May. I always
look at Eastbound and Down, man. They don't write songs like that anymore.
No, that's all you. I think of you more than I think of Burt Reynolds in that now. I'll be honest with you. When I hear it, it's like Tim May, and I think people know it's 1 o'clock on Friday too. We're all Pavlov's dogs, man.
I think of Kenny Powers. That's who I think of.
Oh, you're right. You probably could think.
See, every time I hear it, all that goes through my head is there's no way you could walk to Hollywood now and go, I got a script in my hand.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of this is you've got 48 hours to get beer from one side of the Mississippi to the other.
No, to get Coors. We couldn't Coors beer.
Exactly.
The funny thing about Coors was when I was growing up, it was one of those holy grails. You had to drive from Lufkin, I think three counties over, to be able to buy Coors, even in Texas. Of course, it's from Colorado, and it took forever for them to become nationwide. And Coors, basically, I don't think was even sold east of the Mississippi River.
No, so it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, it was a big deal to have to go over there and get the banquet beer.
That's why that movie, it was the whole premise for that movie, you know? Get that delivery there, and it's contraband.
That's true. Yeah. It's funny because it was like 85, I think, that it came to Cincinnati first. Because I remember some people were just about 19 years old. I'm sure they were 19 when they did, because that was the drinking age time. And they would get dressed up, and they would go down to Cincinnati to get it from here.
There you go.
Wow. Well, we've all learned a little bit today, haven't we? We're all smarter.
I feel smarter.
All right, make me smarter. Is Indiana for real? What's this game all about tomorrow? And I can't imagine the Buckeyes are taking this game lightly, knowing how well Indiana's played this year.
Oh, hell no. They're not taking it lightly, number one. Number two, Indiana's undefeated, 10-0 for the first time in history. And you watch video of them. I've watched several of their games, when I get home in time, et cetera. Indiana is for real. How for real, relatively speaking, to the Blue Bloods? They just knocked off Michigan 2 weeks ago and then took the week off. But Michigan almost put them back in their place. Couldn't quite get it done because Michigan has one of the worst offenses known to man this season. But did pretty much stunt their offense. I'm talking about Indiana's vaunted offense, which was averaging 40-something points a game with Rourke, the kid from the transfer from Ohio U, basically throwing the ball and was averaging 40-something points a game and scored 20, only scored 3 points in the second half of that game. So it kind of made you scratch your head and go, okay, this is a reality check for all, but they still figured out a way to win the game, which is, fellas, that's all that matters in the new world of college football. So, yeah, they're for real. They've got players, many of whom came with Kurt Cignetti from James Madison, transferred from James Madison. Their quarterback is from Ohio University. One of their running backs is from Wake Forest. They did a really good job of using the transfer portal to put together a solid football team, and some of which, you know, especially on the defensive side, guys who have played with Cignetti and company for a while now, so they knew the system. I thought they did a really good job of integrating new guys, enough new guys with enough holdovers for the new guys to explain to the holdovers what Cignetti is all about, what's expected in his program, so it wasn't just a constant preaching from Cignetti from the top down. You know, a lot of their leadership has come from the inside up and around, and that does wonders for a football team. But they play very sound defense, get after you with some tricks up front, but don't sell out very often. And then on the offensive side, you know, they've scored points, which is by the way the idea behind playing offensive football.
Tim, I just want to ask this question. I don't want to sound naive, but I'm sure people think this question. What comes first, the portal or coaches trying to get guys to go to the portal? Are there rules?
Wait a minute. Are you talking about?
What I'm saying is that, like, are coaches actively recruiting guys that might be backups or guys that might be thinking, hey, I don't know if this is the right fit for me, and
who knows?
Saying get Nobody into is- the portal, or are guys going to the portal and saying, okay, I'll roll the dice and see if any other team wants me?
Well, I mean, you know, who knows what's really going on, but it's really amazing when some guys go into the portal and immediately know where they're going. Let's put it that way.
Well,
some guys don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, without any proof, you got to figure there's something like that. What's that called? Tampering.
Yeah.
For
yes.
want of another term. I think
yes.
they call that in the NFL.
Yeah.
Something like that going on.
But is it tampering in college? I mean, is it? It might sound dirty and like.
I don't think there's actually.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
A rule on the books that keeps you from doing that now. I've always been under the impression there were rules on the books beforehand in some form or fashion, but I'm not going to like throw a fact out there and find out it's not a fact. But the bottom line is it's not, you know,
shady. Shady might be a good word.
Yeah,
right?
There's
shady.
The word. Yeah, I should have said instead of not. I should have said it's still shady.
Yeah.
And you know, like when Nick Saban threw the help wanted sign out there about wanting a receiver that could take the top off of defense right after they lost Devontae Smith in that team. Remember when they beat Ohio State for the 2020 national championship? Well, Ohio State had a backup wide receiver named Jameson Williams who, you know, what, a couple months later was playing for Alabama or transferred to Alabama. And then, you know, now he plays for the Detroit Lions, but he could take the top off an offense. So what is tampering? Who knows, right?
Right.
The legend, Tim May, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Listen to him on a Tim May podcast. Of course, you can always read him on Letterman Row as well. Tim, do you think Indiana is some kind of a blueprint for other teams, like let's say a Purdue, where they were able to take some of the money that they got in the cable deal and then turn around and use name, image, and likeness and bring in a whole bunch of guys to kind of help bolster that program? Do you think that's a blueprint?
Yes, but what it is also is, wait a minute, how come Kurt Cignetti could do this and Indiana could do this, but you haven't? Meaning, to whatever your current head coach, you know, somewhere, and or athletic director.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yes, it is. It's a great use of the rules as they stand right now in major college football. You know, Ohio State went out in the transfer portal this past year and sprinkled in new guys, and almost all came from reputable big time programs. What Indiana's also proven is you don't necessarily have to shop at Neiman Marcus. You can shop at Target. You know, there are players there if you know how to find them and what a real football player looks like. Go get them, and that's what it's proven. It's really what it's shown. And Colorado's doing this too this year. You know, Colorado got kind of poo pooed as the year went on last year, and only won three, four games. But Colorado's playing for a chance to play in the Big 12 championship game and a possible first round bye in the college football playoffs in the second year under Deion Sanders. Clearly it can be done. Meanwhile, what are you doing, Lincoln Riley? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
heck, what are you doing, Debo?
Basically, there's no excuses anymore. Everybody has to be on board. You have to have a thriving NIL situation. Look at what Michigan has just done. Basically lowering the quarterback who had been committed to LSU for quite a while, Bryce Underwood, number one maybe recruit in the country. All of a sudden now he's going to Michigan, and the rumors are he's going to be for a 4-year deal worth about $10 million to him from an NIL standpoint. You know, if you can't beat him, join them in terms of the transfer portal as it goes. So, yeah, you're either stepping forward in that realm or you're falling way behind. There's no middle ground.
Tim, let me ask you this, because we have our Odyssey Sports Insider. His name's Nick Costos. He joins us once a week, and he said Indiana needs to at least cover in this game to make sure that they can still be in the college football playoff. Like, if Ohio State blows them out, what does that mean for their future?
Only time will tell, number one. Number two, the SEC hasn't finished playing games either, you know?
Right.
So, you know, the ironic thing is the Big Ten, at the end of the regular season, the Big Ten could have four teams with just one loss.
Right.
And they would probably all, if it's a close loss, let's say, by Indiana, then Indiana conceivably could still be in the top 10, at least in the polls. The way the polls are concerned, the SEC is arguing that it's 15 teams that have two losses. Now I'm exaggerating there, but this parcel of teams with two losses should be considered more highly than the Big Ten if the Big Ten has four teams with just one loss each. Well, poppycock, I think it's the way Bear Bryant would say it.
Yes.
Poppycock. We'll see. I mean, everybody thinks that, you know, has it in their mind that that the SEC is pushing all the buttons when it comes to the college football playoff. I don't agree with that. You know, I was just talking with Bo Bishop, my buddy, and we were talking about how, though, they understand that matchups on television mean a lot, especially in this college football playoff 12-team era we're in now. And so how much the committee will bow to that in one form or fashion remains to be seen. Here's the point. You know, it's okay to have one Cinderella, maybe two in a 12-team format, but you don't want six, because most of those Cinderellas aren't teams that have drawn big on television over the past many decades. And you still have a television show or shows to put on. How much that factors in the way the committee thinks, only they know, right? But I don't know the answer to that until we get there.
Tim, let's just kind of talk a little bit more about tomorrow's game. Jeremiah Smith, a little banged up at the end. I know you don't get the injury reports the way we do in the NFL, but any thoughts on that, and how do you think he's feeling today?
Well, he went back in the game and played, and they even ran an end around with him, which got blown up after that. I was standing right next to him about 10 feet from him yesterday, or 2 days ago, while we were doing interviews, and he was doing some kind of whatever radio interview on his own. He wasn't available to us, but well, he looked fine.
Good.
He wasn't wearing a yellow jersey or anything like that. I think he's fine, good to go, but it still doesn't change the fact that that was a dirty play by that Northwestern player. And it, you know, Ohio State turned it in, obviously. And
any repercussions? Sure, yeah, what happened?
I'm not sure there's been a definitive repercussion yet, but too bad.
Don't you find it funny, though, Tim, when teams do that? They're like, we're turning you into the league office for this. And then
well,
you're
yeah, but they should. You know what?
I know they should, but I just like.
Should not be condoned. Something should have been done about it when it happened, because all the replays, you could see it. I didn't see it immediately because I didn't see the replay up in the Wrigley Field press box. I missed the replay on it, or I'd have been more hound dog on it after the game than I ended up being. But it was a dirty play, and there's no other way around it.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of sight lines on TV that were real good either. I mean, as cool as it was that they played it Wrigley,
cool.
I think it made it hard for replay in a lot of ways because they just didn't have the angles that we're used to.
Yeah, it was so cool compared to, like, if they'd played that game out on that little temporary stadium they built out on the lake at Northwestern. It was really cool. Like I told you, I'd never been to Wrigley Field before, but it was cool. But there are hardly any good football seats in Wrigley Field. And then you think about the fact that Gale Sayers played his whole career there and Dick Butkus.
Right?
You know, it's crazy.
Thoughts on the just final thoughts on this game coming up and what we can expect to see against Indiana.
Yeah, I think finally Ohio State's depth, even on the offensive line, you know, replacing Seth McLaughlin is a big deal, but you're replacing him with a guy who started all 12 games for you at center last year. Doesn't mean there's not going to be some rusty goings on, at least early in that game. And then you've got Austin Saraveld moving into left guard where Carson Hinsman had been playing since they had to shuffle the offensive line a couple other times this year. He started the first two games for Donovan Jackson at left guard. And Donovan Jackson, of course, now playing at left tackle for the last several games. You can read all about that at LettermanRoe.com, a story I wrote. But the bottom line is, I just think Ohio State eventually will hold sway just because it has more than what Indiana does. That doesn't mean it won't be a really good game, but I've got Ohio State winning by two scores.
And last thought, do you think if things go right, we look at Oregon twice now, right? We would see Oregon in the championship, and then we could see them the way it was lined up this week. Wouldn't it be in the second round of the playoffs?
Yeah, that's been the collision we've all been seeing coming.
Yeah.
No matter what happened on October the 12th, we've seen that re-collision coming for many months now. I think that is what's going to happen. But you know what? Wisconsin could have almost beat Oregon last week. So you never know in college football what's going to happen from 1 week to the next.
Amen, Tim May. Have fun tomorrow. I'll be listening for you in the press conference. Thank you, Tim.
Always, thanks, buddy.
Always a pleasure being on with you fellas. You know that, man. We're a tradition now. We're a tradition like no other.
That's right. We're like Thanksgiving.
There you go.
All right. I feel thanks, Tim. Talk to you soon. Bye. Tim May, Letterman Row. Make sure you're checking out Tim May there. And what did we just say? Tim May podcast, right? Tim May.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tim May podcast, man. He does a lot of stuff with Urban, too, if you want to try to check some of that out. 216-474-0092. That is the number to check in. I wanted to talk a little bit more about college football. And also, it is a Browns Therapy Friday. It is a Victory Friday in Northeast Ohio as the Browns down the Steelers yesterday.